Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Sometimes I get bogged down in the intros of these series, which is why I'm glad that they're series, because I always want to set up where we're going. And I think that the setup for this one is vitally important because church is different than it's ever been before. Bishop and I talk about this daily, on the daily. It had come up at some point. And I was talking to a great friend of mine who pastors a great church here in the U.S., and he said, we really need to be prayerful about how we approach preaching in 2021 because it's different than it was 14 months ago. COVID, the social landscape, everything that is going on has changed. And so, as a friend of mine says, the methods change, the mantle stays the same. The message stays the same, but methods can change. And so I want to make sure that when we preach, that we're preaching not as an answer to what's happening, but preaching the Word of God, which is always an answer to what's happening, but making sure that there's no knee-jerk reactions. And when you have a title like cancel culture, it can get very, very cultural, but not spiritual. We want to make sure that we're sticking to spiritual, which is why we set it up like we did last week, and we'll continue there tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then Colossians 2:8, the NIV version reads it like this: see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And I think that Paul, talking in Colossians, is talking much more deeper than horoscopes and New Age and all of these things. I think it's a lot deeper than that. But we're continuing our series on cancel culture. Turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus is too big to cancel. You may be seated. Last session, we started off talking in the term cancel culture. You've been canceled as a modern form of ostracism. It is to dismiss something or somebody and to reject an individual or idea. Drastic efforts to silence, to banish, to punish offending parties. Cancel culture's very foundation is flawed because it's rooted in the claim that truth is an individual claim and that it is ever-evolving, that it is subjective. However, we know that truth is not evolving or subjective because truth is not a collection of personal feelings and or experiences. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus answered in John 14:6 and said, I am the way, I am the truth. The article the means there is no other. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I apologize, not with much sincerity, but I apologize to Oprah Winfrey and Tom Cruise who think there are many roads to heaven. There is only one road to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. That road is not paved with stone, concrete, or asphalt. That road was paved with the blood of Jesus. No other blood but the blood of Jesus, a perfect sacrifice, a spotless lamb, a sheep without blemish. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it allows us to not take phrases from others that say, well, my truth says this. Or my truth is this. You might tell me your experience, but the truth is still the same. It is Jesus. You might tell me your perception of truth, but truth is still truth. Perception never trumps truth. Perception is never bigger than truth. Perception might be important to some, but truth 2,000 years ago is still the same as it is today. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's only one truth, and we don't get to decide what that truth is. We do not change the truth. The truth changes us. And when I say the truth, capital T, any time that you put truth in the Word of God, it is synonymous with the word Jesus. So anytime we say, and the truth will set you or make you free, we are saying there is only one freedom that really happens, and that is the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. I remember a few years ago, I was doing a lot of work with a rehab facility, a Christian rehab facility, and I would go and spend at least a couple weeks there every year, and we would have nighttime services, but then we would have sessions during the day where we were counseling and talking and talking through issues. And one of the things that I love about the faith-based rehab as it is compared to a 12-step program is from what I've heard, Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach you that you are a recovering alcoholic forever. That you are always just one bad mistake or one drink from falling off the wagon, and you are never totally recovered. Well, I've got news for you. It's not a 12-step program. It's a one-step program. His name is Jesus Christ, and you can't talk me out of it, because there are people sitting all over this room that used to have a fifth of whiskey a day habit, but when they met Jesus, they didn't go through AA, and they are not a recovering anything. They are a recovered. Why? Because it's not my power, not my might, not my truth. It is the truth that makes me free, meaning even when there doesn't seem to be a way, Jesus steps in and says, I will make a way, because when I show up, I, as Jesus, am the way. So I believe that we are not recovering, we are recovered. I believe that we are not being healed, we are healed. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's in Isaiah. In the way Peter says it, by your stripes, we were healed. It's already done. It's not in the process of happening. Truth is not evolving. It's not changing. It's not moving. It's the same. Romans chapter 12, where we left off last session. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is not too much to ask, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Praise God. See, this world will like to cancel you if you don't conform to saying what they say and how they want it to be said. You realize that we live in a world where eventually they're going to try to come into this church physically and tell us what we can and cannot say. I am just going to put it out there that it doesn't matter who walks in the back door. It doesn't matter who sits in the pew. It doesn't matter what laws are passed. The Word of God will always be preached at Living Way. I don't have to ask permission to receive the promises of God, so I'm not going to ask permission on what parts of the Word of God I can preach. If it's in the book, then I want to preach it. If it's a promise of God, then I want to receive it. If it's a principle of God, then I want to live it. And so you can try to cancel me, but your problem is not with me, it's with He. And if He put it in His Word, that's what I'm living by, that's what I'm governed by, and that's how I make my decision. Be not conformed. Conformed means to be changed from the outside in. Be not conformed to this world, meaning I will not allow what they do to change what I do. I will not allow what they do to change what I do. It is becoming alarming how many pastors have thrown in the towel on the argument that abortion is a sin. It's all right. I knew it'd get quiet when I start touching on these issues. It is alarming to me how many pastors are now no longer taking a stance on homosexuality and same-sex marriage and transgenderism and all of the issues that we face today. I'm here to tell you that the Word of God has not changed. When God wrote it all of those years ago, it is still the same today. And so just because Hollywood has changed doesn't mean the Word has changed. And me as a pastor, I'm going to answer for every deed and every word that I say. I am held accountable. And I don't want God to say, man, you really preached some good things, but then you grew quiet on some hot button issues. Listen, I'm here to preach that if you are shacking up with the different sex and not married, it's sin. If you are in a homosexual relationship, as tough as me is to say it, it's sin. Why? Because it goes against the word of God. And you can try to tell me that that's not what the writer said, and it's lost in translation. And when it went from Greek and when it went all of that, you can say all that you want to make you feel better because you've got a friend, an auntie, or an uncle. But I'm here to tell you, lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Murder is a sin. Shacking up with somebody you're married to is a sin. Come on now. I'm not going to let them cancel me, because if you're going to cancel Brandon, you could cancel me. But if you're going to cancel me because of the God that I speak and the God that I preach, then you're going to have to try to cancel something that cannot be canceled. We just celebrated two Sundays ago the resurrection. That was them trying to cancel Jesus. If we can put him in the grave, we can shut him up. If we can put him in the grave, we can shut his followers up. But I am here to tell you, Jesus proved it. After 3 days, you can't cancel Christ. You can't cancel the word of God. You can't cancel truth. You can't cancel the way. You can't cancel the door. You can't cancel the... You can cancel me, but you can't cancel him. Well, Pastor, what are you going to do when one day they arrest you and drag you out of this? I promise before my feet hit the blacktop, somebody else will have grabbed this microphone and they will keep preaching. They better get ready. We're going to fill the jails up with Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-talking, Bible-quoting, demon-slaying believers. You say that's big talk. Oh, that's real talk. It's happening. It's coming. And if I got to be like Paul, I'll have the best prison ministry in San Antonio. Because if you put me behind bars, you might lock my body up, but you can't shut my mouth down. And I'm going to keep teaching, preaching, spreading, quoting the word of God. You can't cancel me if you can't quiet me. Can't cancel me if you can't quiet me. Is this too much on a Wednesday night? I will not allow what they do to change what I do. I will not allow who they are to dictate who I am. I firmly believe in the statement that I'm about to make. You do you, boo. You do you. If you want to make that decision, you do you. You realize we are all going to stand before God. And we are going to answer about the decisions we made, where we were quiet, where we spoke up, what we said when we spoke up. We're all going to stand before Christ. And when we stand, that's why Paul would say, live a life that is holy and acceptable unto God. Can I encourage you, how you live your life, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not the one grading. I'm not the one that's going to give you a pass. I don't even get to give a good word for you when we get there. Every one of us will stand before God. And I plan on standing before him saying, God, all of them were acting this way, but I stayed the course. I held on to my faith. I never stopped worshiping, serving, and doing what you've called me to do. I'm not going to let who they are dictate who I am. I believe that I am. I believe that as blunt as I am, I believe that I am. I'm doing my best to be like Jesus and my wife, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm trying to be that way. But listen, I'm here to tell you, I just want to be me tomorrow, but I want to be bolder tomorrow. I don't want to back down. I don't want to get emails that cause me, well, maybe I shouldn't hit that issue because I know we've got people that are dealing with that. Or maybe I shouldn't hit that issue because we're going to be labeled as intolerant. And maybe I should avoid that. But then when I go to the Word of God, I find that I can't just preach about blessings and favor, but there is a holiness that goes beyond that, that there's got to be a level of faith that we're living at and a relationship with Christ that we have before the blessing and favor can be bestowed on us. Remember, God can't bless a mess. That's not just messy there. It can be messy here. I will not let what they believe decipher what I believe. See, most of you work jobs. You're the only. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you work a secular job, you're probably the only one that speaks in tongues at your entire company. You say, I don't know if that's true. Speak in tongues tomorrow at noon. Next time you're in a boardroom meeting, you'll tell by the looks if you're the only one that speaks. So we have to find out how to live around that and make an impact from here moving this way than what they have moving this way. Now, I believe that we should be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so I don't think you should go in there tomorrow and lay hands on everybody at your job and speak in tongues and prophesy unless God or the Spirit leads you to do that. But what I believe is that we can live a life that is holy and acceptable unto God. And listen, if I get in trouble because of I'm living a life that is holy and acceptable to God, then guess what? It's not my problem. That would be God's responsibility. If you're fired because they're trying to cancel you, because you carry a Bible, because you put something on your Facebook, because you witnessed to somebody at lunchtime, if that's why you're fired, then I got good news for you. It's not your problem. God said, listen, if my word got you in the mess, then my word's going to get you out of the mess. If my word got you fired, then my word's going to get you hired. If holiness is what they're coming at you because, then holiness is going to give you enough to come right back at them and not just exist, but gain ground in Jesus' name. Be not conformed, change from the outside in, but be transformed, change from the inside out. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. The only way that your mind is renewed by what we allow in our mind. That means Netflix cannot renew our mind. That means secular or worldly music cannot, and there's a difference. Worldly music is where they're degrading women. And I find it weird that we can cancel Pepe Le Pew, but we can't cancel music that degrades women and that talks and preaches illicit drug use, and that glorifies that lifestyle. But we're going to take all of our efforts in 2021, and we're going to put it on a skunk that's not even real. And then we're going to give Grammy Awards to the other guys. We're going to give billions of dollars to an industry of men and women who are literally helping to bring our entire culture and country to a place that God cannot bless. Be not conformed, be ye transformed by what we allow in our mind. That means I better be spending more time with him than them. I better be worshiping more than I'm listening. I better be in the Word. I better be listening to podcasts. I better be reading books. I better be doing all of these things than binge-watching this. And isn't it funny how we say we don't have enough time for this, yet we got quarantined for 13 months, and all we did was we gained the quarantine 50. Yeah, I said 50, F-I-F-T-Y. We have time for whatever we want. You know how I know we have time? Because Netflix even thinks we watch too much Netflix. Because if you watch Netflix too long, a thing comes up on the screen that says, hey, are you still there? That's Netflix saying, I can't believe you're still watching me. Don't act like you've never been there. Or you're watching so much TV, the DVR goes to sleep mode. You're like, hey, man, I'm still watching this. We make time for the input that's coming in. That's why we have nights of worship like we're having tomorrow night with our young people. That's why we're here on a Wednesday night and not just Easter Sunday morning. That's why we have devotionals. That's why we encourage you, get in your word every day. Why? Because the input has to be greater than the output, and the input has to be greater than everything that's coming at you from them. Why? Because they're trying to conform you, and if you will not conform, they want to cancel you. But I've got news for you. You can't cancel the transformed. Why? Because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He's bigger than you. He's greater than you. He is so powerful. And if I tap into him, it doesn't matter what they try to do. The world says conform or cancel. God said those are not the only options. See, that's what the world would like to think, is that the only options you have is to conform and be like them, or we're going to cancel you. The enemy would like to tell you that you either live like I want you to, or I'm going to make your life a living hell. Let me just encourage you. God wants to start good things in your life. The devil wants to stop or cancel the good things in your life. The devil wants to start terrible things in your life, and God wants to cancel the terrible. That's why Paul would say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's principalities. There's things you don't see. There's things that you don't know are going on. That's why it's important that we be filled with the Holy Ghost, because even when my flesh can't feel it, the Spirit starts making intercession. Times when English runs out and I gotta shift over into Holy Ghost mode, and I'll be in the middle of speaking English, talking to God. Where did that come from? God said, they're trying to make you conform. They're trying to make you bow. They're trying to cancel the promise that I died to give you. They're trying to cancel the favor and the blessing and the power that I placed on you. But he said, don't worry, because you've been transformed. You've been transformed because your mind is not the same that it used to be. I feel bad sometimes because people come to me for advice, and I give them such simple advice. They come for the profound. And I don't guess he would mind it. I don't know who he is, but I had a little back and forth today on social media with somebody I've never met before. And I posted something that Jaden, I just shared it. And my 14-year-old girl put up something about, this is for somebody that needs to hear it. Don't give up on your promise. I'm paraphrasing. Don't give up on your promise. Don't give up on the vision that God has given you. If he said it, just believe it. Pray and worship until God makes it happen. So a grown man gets on there and he says, what about if you don't know the vision anymore? What about if you can't? And he goes into all of these things. He said, how do I get that? I just put, read the word, pray, and worship. He replied not 2 minutes later, I've been to seminary. I serve at my church. I sing on the praise and worship team. I have a prayer life. I spend time in my word every day. To which I replied not 30 seconds later, then sir, I cannot help you. Because maybe what you call prayer is not prayer. Maybe what you call worship is not worship. Maybe you spent too much time in seminary and not enough time in your prayer closet, in your secret place of thunder, because I'm here to tell you that most of our issues can be resolved by spending more time in God's word, more time in God's presence, more time in God's worship, more time. Come on now. So a lot of times we just want this profound thing, and this is what God said: renew your mind. God, I want the promise. I don't want it to be canceled. Renew your mind. God, I want to be healed. Renew your mind. God, I need help in my marriage. Renew your mind. God, my kids are going crazy. Renew your mind. God, it feels like there's something going on in my body. Renew your mind. God, I can't break this pornography addiction. Renew your mind. God, I can't break this drug habit. Renew your mind. You say, Pastor, is it that easy? I'm telling you, it might not be easy, but it's that simple that the word of God, the presence of God, the power of God is what we have to tap into, which is why you're here on a Wednesday night, because there's a lot of churches that don't do Wednesday night, and that's them. You do you, boo. But here at Living Way, I need Wednesday night. Why? Because after Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I need a place to renew my mind with like-spirited and like-faith people. I need time Thursday night. I'll work all day tomorrow at 6:45. I'll shut it down and I'll get together with a bunch of young, crazy, faith-filled young people and we'll worship for 45 minutes. Why you do that, Pastor? To renew my mind. You think it takes all of that? Oh, man. All the hell that I fight every day, and I go to church 4 times, and I talk to God 10 or 12 times a day, and I listen to worship music, and I fast and I pray, and the devil's still trying to cancel. I pray not to be canceled. I pray to be chosen. You can't cancel the chosen. You can't, let me say it again, cancel the chosen. I'm sorry, you don't get to unappoint me. You didn't appoint me. I'm sorry, you don't get to pull me down. You're not the one that anointed me. You don't get to make me sick. You didn't die on a cross to heal me. You don't get to bring me down in depression. You're not the one who gives me unspeakable joy. And so I'm sorry, you came too late. I've already been chosen. Well, what about, it doesn't matter, but I'm chosen. You can't cancel the chosen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you can't cancel the chosen. Can't cancel the chosen. You can try. You can't cancel the chosen. I've used this so much in my life, but it's so apropos to use when we're preaching Romans chapter 12. Most believers are thermometers. God doesn't want you to be a thermometer. Thermometers just tell you what's happening. Most of our Facebook feed and our news feed is just that. It's news. You watch the news tonight. What are they telling you? What's happening? Most believers on their Facebook, they're telling you what's happening. Most believers you talk to are telling you what's happening. God has given us vision. Vision doesn't tell what's happening. Vision tells what's to come. If you get a vision, it gives you faith for today because you can say, devil, you're messing with me today, and all you're doing is tipping your hand, telling me that there's something great tomorrow. And let me tell you something. If God has promised me tomorrow, I can't die today. If God has promised me something in May, you can't cancel me in April. I'm here to tell you, God has not called you to be a thermometer. He has called you to be a thermostat. He has called you to be a regulator. He has called you to walk into your job and change things. He has called you to walk home tonight and change things. Wherever you show up, you regulated according to God's word, not popular opinion or pop culture or politically correctness, but it is the word of God. You realize they've been trying to cancel the word of God. Took it out of school. Took it out of courtroom. Took it out of inaugurations. Come on. Took it out off of walls. No more Ten Commandments. Took it out of all of the things that we have inserted it in. But I'm here to tell you, you can take it away from every building, but wherever I show up, the word of God is there. Not just because of what I quote, but the Spirit of God. The Word was God, John 1:1 says. The Word is God. And so I want to encourage you, fill yourself up with the Word and you can never be canceled. Fill yourself up with the Word and the promises of God can never. All the devil's not coming after you. He's coming after what's inside of you. There is a treasure in us as earthen vessels. So when he attacks you, he's not attacking you because of you. He's attacking you because of what's inside you, what God has deposited in you. And can I tell you, there is a great thing that God has placed inside of you, and the devil's doing his best to cancel it. But you can't cancel the word. I put more word in me, and when I get that word in me, I prove unstoppable. John chapter 17, verse 13. I love this. It's a prayer. Very few times in the word of God are the prayers that Jesus prayed on this earth, because he prays all the time. The Bible says in Luke 22, he's at the right hand of the Father intercessing right now for our faith. Why is he praying? That we won't be canceled. That our faith will rise up and say, no, you can't stop the promise of God. That's not what God said. God said this, and it's still going to happen. I know it doesn't look like it today, but it's still going to happen. I know you can't sound it, but it's still going. I hear it in the spirit, and God is still making a way where there seems to be no way. This is a prayer Jesus is having. I think the only other prayer in the entire Bible that we're made aware of is the prayer in Gethsemane, but this is a different prayer that Jesus prays. And I love what he says in verse 13. I'm coming to you now. He's talking to the Father. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, who's they? Us. So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Jesus loved us so much that he came to this earth when he didn't have to. But check this out. Jesus loved us so much, he came to seek and to save that which is lost and to make a way for us to go to heaven and have eternal life. Yes, that is the truth. That is the number one reason why Jesus came. But I love this about God. God said, I want to send my son so that he can show them how to do it when the world says they can't, when the world comes at them, when everybody is saying no. I need to show them what it means to stand on my yes. Come on. When the world comes at them, I need to show them that there is a joy that you can tap into. And I'm here to tell you, it's the joy that was set before the Lord, the Bible says. That's why he endured the cross. I can endure them trying to cancel me. Why, Sister Chris? There's a joy that God has placed in front of me. And if you are alive today, watching online or in this room, there is something in front of you that God has taken you to. There's a blessing. There's a breakthrough. There is a miracle. There is a purpose in front of you. And Jesus said, I am praying this prayer. I am still on this earth. I have come to show them that it is possible to live for Christ and not be worried about being canceled. I want you to become the Christian Rob Lowe. All the ladies know who Rob Lowe is. The guys are like, who? Rob Lowe's been canceled more than any other TV star I know. But he shows up in another show like 6 months later. And he'll have that run for 6 months. He's canceled. He shows up in another show 3 months later. And in almost every show he plays the same guy. You can't cancel Rob Lowe because when you try, he just gets another job. He gets a better job, bigger job, more money. That's how we should be in the when we're in the world. You can cancel me, but if you even think that you're getting the better of me, God is just going to set before me another open door that is going to elevate me. You cannot cancel a converted Christian that is in this to win this, in this for the long haul, and is all in. Can I encourage you? Do not let the world trick you into giving up. Realize they can't cancel you. I'm coming to you now, Jesus said, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy. Jesus speaks what he is going through while he is on this earth so that he shows us the example of what can be accomplished when you tap into the strength that is found in Christ. I don't know. I can't imagine what it's like to be the president of the United States and having half of this nation despise you and having the rest of the world hate you. I can't imagine what it's like hearing what they say about your spouse on the daily. Or your kids. I don't know what it's like to watch the news and them to say untruths about me. Every day, millions of people. And I get my feelings hurt when one person comes at me. Come on now. I want to cancel people if I misunderstand what they said. I want to encourage you today that Jesus came to this earth to show us it is possible to not bow to the world and fulfill purpose. It is possible to do everything that you were created to do. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was possible. It is possible for you to go through the pain and still get to the purpose. It is possible for us to go through the wilderness and still get to the way that God created us to have. It is possible to go through all of that. Jesus was God wrapped in flesh. We are flesh wrapped in God. Bishop said that many years ago. The Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus is too big to cancel. This prayer is to let the world know that Jesus knows, that they know he is too big to cancel. They tried, but they failed. I love verse 14. He continues in his prayer, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. He said, I gave them your word. I gave them the most valuable thing that I could give them, and the world hated them because of it. If the world hates you because of the word of God, you're doing it right. If the world hates you because of the stances you make, because of the word of God, you're doing it right. Well, Pastor, what do you think about this issue? And what do you think about this hot button topic? I'm going to give you the word of God, not what I think, not my perception, not my personal belief or philosophy. I'm going to tell you what the word, why? Because that's where I stand. And if you want to cancel me because of that. You can try to, but God's got my back. This was his prayer. He said, I know that we've created them for great things. And he said, I gave them the word. I gave them the toolbox. I gave them the book. I gave them the answers. I gave them everything they needed to succeed. But this is what the devil does. The devil makes you feel less than because you received the word. I was never attacked till I became a believer. You're right, you weren't. Not like you are now. Why? Because you're going somewhere. You've got the word now that is dictating your life. The word trumps the world. The world cannot stand when you and I refuse to be, to react, to do, and to live like them. So they try to cancel us. Going back to verse 14, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. As a believer, I am of the word. I am not of this world. As a believer, I am rooted in the word. I am not rooted in this world. Verse 15, my prayer is not, I love this. This is going to bless somebody, but it's going to sting somebody. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. He said, my prayer is not escape, it's assignment. Assignment trumps escape. He said, my prayer is for purpose, not exit. Sometimes, listen to what I'm saying in closing, Pastor Baker, if you'll come. Sometimes we pray protection, not deliverance. Sometimes we spend way too much praying, God, deliver me. When God says, deliver you, I'm the one who put you where you're at. And I put you where you're at because I got a purpose where you're at. I can't have you over there with all the other believers Monday through Friday. I've got you in a pit of snakes. I've got you in a pit of vipers. I've got you in a lion's den. But just like I did for Daniel, I'm going to do for you. Don't always pray for deliverance. Sometimes you just got to pray for protection. You say, man, that's hard to hear. That was Jesus' prayer. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of this world. I pray that you would help them and protect them and make sure that they make it to the other side. Can I encourage you? The devil's trying to cancel you. Can I encourage you that the devil's trying his best to cancel the promise of God over your life? But I am here to tell you that God has you right where he needs you, and he will protect you. He will make sure that nothing comes nigh to your house. He will make sure that you are sending your kid every day to a public school where all those kids are acting crazy. But when they leave your house, they got 50 angels all around them. The Holy Ghost goes before them, comes behind them, and flanks each side of them. Can I encourage you tonight? Maybe we need to change our prayer. God, in 2021, I don't need you to deliver me. I just need you to protect me because you're taking me someplace. It might be dangerous, but I have faith. It might be tough, but I've got faith. It might be rough, but I've got faith. Don't deliver me. Protect me. Stand on your feet. Don't deliver me. Now, sometimes God will deliver you, but in the context of what we're saying, God, they're coming after me. And this is what we're saying. Why are they coming after you? Are they coming after you because you're a jerk? Then you need deliverance of your jerkiness. Or are they coming after you because of the promise and the word inside of you? If they're trying to come after you and cancel that, God said, no, not deliverance, protection. Why? Because if they're coming after you because of the word, the only way I can deliver you is to remove the word. If I remove the word, then there's no reason for them to attack you. You hear what I'm saying? But when I'm given those options, Sister Tammy, no, don't take the word. Well, then God says, well, you're going to have to endure the canceling process because they're coming at you because of what's in you. But don't worry, because what's in you is what's causing my protection to come on you. I want to encourage somebody at your job. You've been under attack. And you're saying, God, give me a new job. You better make sure that's the right prayer. Because maybe God has you right where you need to be. And he's protecting you. Why? Because you're going to be the boss this time next year. Or you're going to own 28% of the company this time next decade. I want to open this altar right now, and I'm right on time, but I need everybody to move quickly. If you feel like the enemy is trying to cancel what God has spoken over you, if you feel like you're...